Section 2, World War II. As you read, look for the causes of World War II, why the United States avoided war until 1941, and the events that brought our nation into the fight, the importance of armed forces maneuvers to military preparedness and to Louisiana's economy, the participation of Louisianians both at war and at home, terms, reparations, isolationists, maneuvers, rationing, Victory Garden, War Materiel, GI Bill. Political disputes between 1940 and 1972 focused on Long versus anti-Long policies and on issues related to segregation. However, events far beyond Louisiana and the United States also profoundly shaped the state and nation. Causes of World War II. The economic depression that began in the United States in 1929 was part of a larger economic crash that affected other countries around the world as well. Germany suffered very badly because it had agreed to pay very high fines called reparations for the role it played in World War I. Reparations are materials or money paid by a country losing a war to the winners to make up for damages done in the war. Germany's economic struggles and a feeling that their country had been blamed unfairly for the war led people in Germany to accept the program of a military and political leader named Adolf Hitler. Hitler promised the German people economic recovery in keeping with their supposed superiority as people and a nation. Many struggling Germans took comfort in Hitler's message and offered him their support. Hitler began his rise to power in the early 1930s. By 1934, he had declared himself Germany's sole leader or Führer. He also began a series of military actions designed to reclaim lands that, in his view, belonged to the larger German nation. Neighboring European nations, particularly France and Great Britain, watched with concern. However, both nations faced severe economic problems of their own and, with the memory of World War I so fresh, were reluctant to declare war. Hitler continued his aggressive actions, mostly unchallenged, until German forces invaded Poland in 1939. That attack caused France and the United Kingdom to declare war on Germany. In the same period, Japan had also invaded neighboring countries in the Far East. This led to declarations of war in the Pacific region as well. Thus, by 1939, a worldwide struggle was underway. It would come to be known as World War II. The United States avoids war. The United States had been slow to follow France and the United Kingdom into war against Germany. Many people in our country were isolationists, people who want to avoid international, political, and economic relations. They preferred to focus national resources on solving our own economic problems. Many Americans also felt that our nation's distance from Europe made us an unlikely target for attack. Some people called this idea Fortress America. However, the United States Pacific Fleet, which was stationed at Pearl Harbor on the Hawaiian Islands, was outside that geographically protective fortress. Even so, most Americans and even the nation's military leaders doubted Japan had the ability to strike the United States. Pearl Harbor. Early on the morning of December 7, 1941, that belief was shattered when the Japanese attacked American airfields and our fleet of battleships moored at Pearl Harbor. By the time the two-hour attack was over, the ships at Pearl Harbor lay in ruins. Like the fleet itself, the desire of the United States to stay out of World War II was also crushed. The next day, December 8, 1941, the United States declared war on Japan. 3 days later, Germany declared war on the United States, drawing our nation into a war in both the Pacific region around Japan and on the European continent across the Atlantic. Military preparedness and the Louisiana maneuvers. The very poor state of military preparedness was one of the reasons the United States had delayed becoming involved in the war. The Army had low numbers of forces and was behind in developing new weapons and better equipment. Even when it had new equipment, it had never tested much of it in actual battlefield conditions. Military leaders took concrete steps to prepare their forces for a war they believed was sure to happen. They also tried to make the nation's people and its policymakers aware of the needs of the armed forces. U.S. Army Chief of Staff George C. Marshall hoped that the news coverage of military maneuvers, a large-scale armed forces training exercise, would rivet national attention on the weakness of its army. The Army selected a broad area of central Louisiana to be the headquarters for large-scale military training and maneuvers in 1939. In part, Louisiana was chosen for its wide area of rural land that was sparsely populated. In addition, the difficult terrain provided a challenging environment that was a good testing ground for the Army's new tank technology. According to future General George S. Patton, if the Army could maneuver its tanks through the Louisiana countryside, it could do so anywhere in the world. Although training exercises took place every year between 1940 and 1944, the biggest war games took place in the summer and fall of 1941. Known as the Louisiana Maneuvers, these realistic war games spread out across central Louisiana and into Mississippi, Arkansas, and Texas. The maneuvers certainly gathered the publicity and attention military leaders had hoped for, but their value went far beyond the symbolic. The leadership skills of battlefield commanders were tested. This gave the Army the ability to promote those who showed skill and to demote those who were found lacking. The games also allowed the military to identify problems in the way they provided supplies and medical care to soldiers in the field. The maneuvers also helped the soldiers and their leaders develop better communication among different kinds of forces, including ground troops, tank divisions, and paratroopers who jump from planes onto battlefields. Soldiers in warfare. Shortly after the 1941 games ended, our nation entered the war. The Louisiana maneuvers did much to prepare nearly 750,000 of the nation's troops for the rigors, harshness of warfare they would face in Europe and the Pacific. The maneuvers also brought badly needed economic activity to our state. Millions of dollars accompanied the soldiers and equipment into Louisiana. Many rural areas had their first taste of economic prosperity since the beginning of the Great Depression in 1929. United States troops from Louisiana and elsewhere entered the war after the attack on Pearl Harbor. Once they were trained, they traveled to faraway places and fought enemies whose languages they often could not understand. Yet their mission, to help defeat the Germans and Japanese, offered them more clarity, clearness in the face of the death and destruction of war. Home front activities. On the home front, citizens also participated actively in supporting the war. People were encouraged to buy war bonds to support the nation's war effort financially. Because so many items were needed to feed and supply the troops, mandatory wartime rationing, limiting the consumption of scarce resources or supplies, also went into effect. Sugar and other foods could only be purchased with rationing coupons. Most rural families already had gardens in which they grew fresh vegetables, but now this became as much a patriotic duty as a rural folkway. Even people in cities dug new gardens in their yards or on nearby lots to grow their own food. These plots were named victory gardens. Many consumer goods also became scarce. Rubber, which was used to make shoes, was needed instead for making tires and other war materiel, equipment and supplies used by soldiers. Individuals were given coupons to buy only 2 pairs of shoes each year. Economic impact on the war. Both money and buying power had been scarce during the Great Depression. The war industries that developed in Louisiana brought new energy to the long-struggling economy. The state's rich oil and gas resources had already led to the development of petrochemical facilities around the state. Lake Charles was an important center for the state's petrochemical industry. Its facilities grew in size and importance as the chemicals and other products it produced were needed in the war effort. In New Orleans, the assembly line production of boats and even one kind of airplane provided jobs. Men had made up most of the workforce before the war, but with so many men serving overseas, new groups of people were needed to fill those jobs. In particular, women and African Americans were drawn into these manufacturing jobs in New Orleans. Even though it was unfair that workplaces were racially segregated, many African Americans did not want to give up the economic rewards of jobs in industry after the war. The costs of war. In a global sense, the war had been a great tragedy. More than 70 million men and women had served in militaries across the globe. About 15 million of them lost their lives in the 6 years of war. The numbers of civilians killed were even higher, reaching the staggering, shocking number of at least 45 million. World War II brought on great human tragedy and suffering, yet it also gave rise to great acts of bravery, sacrifice, and courage. The United States and Louisiana at War's End. Despite the backdrop of tragedy and loss, World War II actually had many positive effects in the United States and in Louisiana. At War's End, the United States stood as the strongest, richest nation on earth. Its armed forces, which had been so poorly prepared for war in 1940, had grown to be the strongest in the world by 1945. The United States emerged as one of the war's victorious nations and as the most powerful nation on earth. Louisiana, like other states, also benefited from the economic activity of wartime production. Jobs provided by wartime manufacturing meant that income levels rose to pre-Depression levels for the first time since 1929. The state's industrial base had also grown tremendously. Although the state remained majority rural and agricultural, even its least industrialized sections had gained strength and population. During the war, those regions served as training areas for soldiers. After the war, they remained as sites for military bases that would support many of those rural communities for years to come. The state's people also changed as a result of World War II. Once peace returned, many African Americans migrated to cities in the nation's more heavily industrialized states so that they could continue to earn more money with industrial work. And while many women returned eagerly to their homes as full-time mothers and wives, other women liked their wartime work experiences and continued in the paid workforce when possible. Returning soldiers also needed employment. Some jobs were made available when wartime workers left. Other returning soldiers took advantage of a new federal law adopted in 1944 called the Servicemen's Readjustment Act, known more commonly as the GI Bill. This legislation made an educational scholarship available to anyone who had served in uniform during the war. The ability to receive advanced technical training or to obtain a college degree gave many returning veterans new skills. These skills helped them readjust to civilian life and achieve economic and professional success in post-war America. African American soldiers who had served were also eligible for GI Bill benefits. They were not always able to enter schools of their choice because many colleges and universities were still segregated. Many African American veterans returned with a new kind of restlessness and discontent. They had fought for the freedom of people abroad, but returned to places where Jim Crow laws and segregation made them second-class citizens. This aspect of post-war life brought new energy to the African American quest for equal citizenship rights. Special feature: Sacrifice and Courage celebrated at the National World War II Museum. Have you ever wondered what it was like to live through the events of World War II? The National World War II Museum, located in New Orleans, makes it possible for you to experience a bit of that heroic era. The museum was founded in 2000 by Stephen E. Ambrose, a longtime professor of history at the University of New Orleans and the author of many books about World War II, including Band of Brothers. The National World War II Museum features exhibits on the Pacific and European war zones, Higgins boats, D-Day, and more. In the U.S. Freedom Pavilion, the Boeing Center, you can learn about the contributions of Americans, both as soldiers and on the home front, during World War II. The pavilion includes an exhibit called The Final Mission, the USS Tang Submarine Experience. The experience allows museum visitors to relive the fifth and final battle of the real USS Tang on October 25, 1944. As a visitor touring the exhibit, you become part of a crew and are given a task to perform during the battle. The Louisiana Memorial Pavilion focuses on D-Day and other amphibious, carried out by both land and sea forces, operations of the war. This makes sense because the Higgins boats were developed and produced in Louisiana. In addition to exhibits on the amphibious landings, there are two movies you can watch, Price for Peace and D-Day Remembered. There are several other exhibits to visit. At the John E. Kushner Restoration Pavilion, you can see archivists, people who collect and store historic materials, at work restoring and preserving artifacts from World War II. There is a 4D theater that features Beyond All Boundaries, narrated by Tom Hanks. Two new exhibit halls are under development. One new exhibit will provide an overview of the war in the Pacific and in Europe. The other new exhibit will focus on the Holocaust and what the war means to us now. Why do you think a museum like this is important for our state and our country?